It's time to go to sleep. And you try.
My word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Good evening, everyone. It's good to be back here this Saturday. Thank God for His goodness, His grace and mercy that has kept us. And today I'm going to start a new series on the insight into the Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon. Many know it as the Song of Solomon. The same thing. Insight into the Song of Songs. And I'm going to be doing chapter 1 of Song of Solomon, and I trust that we will glean a lot from this love story. Before we begin, let us pray. Father, I thank you for today. I just thank you for your love towards us. Your word said, while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Thank you for your joy, your peace. Thank you for the hope we have in you. Thank you, O God, Almighty Lord, that you, O God, are our bridegroom, and we are the bride, the church. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you, O God Almighty, are with us. You never leave us comfortless. So we thank you and we give you praise. Thank you for your word today. And we pray that the hearts of your people will be blessed as they listen to this Song of Songs written by King Solomon. Father, we thank you and we give you praise for your word, O God, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We look to you by faith, O God. Thanks for your love, for your grace and mercy, and for your direction right now. As we say thanks in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs, is a love song written by King Solomon and has a lot of metaphorical imagery. Historically, it depicts the wooing and wedding of a Shulamite by King Solomon and the joys and heartaches that it brings. Allegorically, it pictures Israel as God's betrothed bride and the church as the bride of Christ. As the natural life finds its highest fulfillment in the love of a man and a woman, so the spiritual life finds its highest fulfillment in the love of God for his people and Christ for his church. The scene is played out in the form of a drama. The bride, the Shulamite, the king, Solomon, and a chorus, the daughters of Jerusalem. We are going to see the symbolic representation in this art. We are going to see how it symbolizes Christ and the church. So let us go into the word, Song of Solomon, chapter 1. It says, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. So this is the best song that Solomon sung. And this is in the superlative tense. So this is the best song. This is the Song of Songs. The best song that Solomon sung. And we see in verse 2, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for the love is better than wine. So the church, the bride of Christ, is calling Christ Jesus to fill her up with the words from his mouth. Fill me up with the words from his mouth. Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. So fill me up with the words from your mouth. For the love of Christ is better than any intoxicating drink. God's love is better than wine. Ephesians 5:18 said, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And when we are filled with the Spirit, we have that joy, that fulfillment in our lives. And Christ said, as he was ready to go, he spoke to his disciples, he said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. I will send the blessed comforter who will fulfill your life. He has come to help us to have that fulfilled life here on earth. So we see Christ and the church in this song. Verse 3 of Song of Solomon. Because of the savor of thy good ointment, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Because of the fragrance of Christ's perfume, his name is so sweet to his bride, the church. It's like perfume poured out because of that pure in heart, because of that the pure in heart adores him. When we are pure in heart, we adore Jesus because his aroma is so sweet. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 15 said, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. So wherever we go, we should have the aroma of Christ with us. We should display that love, that joy, that peace, all the fruit of the Spirit, showing forth his glory and his praise. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. So we, the church of God, are the sweet savor of Christ, the sweet aroma of Christ. So let us walk forth each day, living a life of purity, bringing honor to the name of Christ. Verse 4 of Song of Solomon. Verse 4 of chapter 1, Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king has brought me into his chamber. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. The bride, the church, is calling King Jesus to draw her close, and that she will intentionally pursue him. We have to make up our mind to intentionally pursue Jesus. The bride is now saying that King Jesus has brought her into the inner courts where she can now rejoice and be glad because she is now experiencing the love of God in a new way. She now desires him more than anything, and she continually declares her love for him. We, God's people, need to be intentional in our pursuit of Jesus. We need to love him, to show him how much we love him by submitting to his word. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So when we purpose in our hearts to draw close to God, he will draw close to us. The church now desires more than anything else to continually declare her love for him. Verse 5 of Song of Solomon, chapter 1. I am black but comely, O ye daughter of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. So the bride, the church, was saying, I am marred. I'm living in this sin-tainted world, so I am marred, but still beautiful. Because the word of God tells us that he beautifies the meek with salvation. So we see here, we might have gone through a lot of rough times in our lives. We might have a lot of scars, but we are still beautiful to him. There is no flaw in us. He sees no flaw in us because he has washed us in his blood and he has made us clean. So we might look tanned, might look marred, but we are beautiful to our King. The bride, the church of God, is beautiful. He loves us so much that he would come and sacrifice his life for us. That's how much he loves us, that he would lay down his life for us. He loves us unconditionally. The Bible said he demonstrated that love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He didn't wait until we were trying to be good, but he died for us while we were yet sinners. Verse 6 of Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's children were angry at me. They made me the keeper of the vineyard, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. So we see here the bride, the church, crying, saying to Jesus, saying to the bride, the church, speaking, saying to the world not to look on her chastisingly because she has been through some rough times. She said that her brethren are against her. They compelled her to take care of their affairs, and hers is left unattended. So we see here the bride speaking, saying that she has been doing so much work, and not taking care of her own affair. Her own affair is left unattended. So we have to make sure that we are doing what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to be living for Christ, living not in the world, not of the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. So we are supposed to live a life that the world will see Christ in us and come to glorify his name. The world might speak evil of us, but let it not be true. Let them speak of us falsely. Let our light so shine before them that they may see our good works and come to glorify our Father which is in heaven. Verse 7 of Song of Solomon chapter 1. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companion? So the church of bride is now speaking to the bridegroom, the good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. She's asking him to tell her, where is his pasture? Where is his place of rest for the noontime? She does not want to go and seek the pasture of another shepherd. And we have to ask, seek after the Lord, seek after him. Come to know what he requires of us, what he desires of us. We don't want to be going to other sources, looking for information from other sources. Let us turn to his word, turn to the word of God, and find that fulfillment in the word, find that nurture in the word, find that joy in the word, find that fulfillment in every area of our lives in the word of God. So we don't want to be going to look elsewhere, for Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. He is the one who giveth his life for the sheep. We don't want to be running around and taking in all kinds of doctrines, but we want to turn to the word of God. We want to cleave to the word of God. We want to know the word of God, that we will be able to stand in these evil times. So the church was saying to the Lord, show me where you feed us. Show me where to go. Bring revelation to your people, Lord. Bring revelation of your word to us, that we will know that we are not supposed to be going seeking in any other direction, but seeking you through your word. So we pray for revelation for God's people, revelation of his word to us. If thou know, verse 8 of chapter 1, if thou know not, O thou fearest among women, go thy way forth by the footstep of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. So the bridegroom Our Lord Jesus Christ is now speaking to the bride, the church, telling her that if she does not know how to find him, she is to just follow the footsteps of the flock. She is to follow the old pathway of wholehearted devotion to God. That's the old pathway. Wholehearted devotion to God. Come back to that place of prayer and fasting and the word of God. Come back to that place of praise and worship to God. So the bridegroom was saying to the bride, the church, follow the old pathway of wholehearted devotion. Come to Jesus. Come close to him and feed where he is. We're going to turn to Jeremiah 6, verse 16, and read. It said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. But I pray today that we as the body of Christ will say, yes, we will walk therein. We will go back to prayer and fasting. We will go back to worship. Worship God in spirit and in truth. We will go back to eating of the word again. We will go back to feasting on the things of God. We have strayed from the word. All we like sheep have gone astray. But the Lord is calling us back to that high place in him. Come back. Follow the old pathway. Follow the old pathway which is good. And do not turn from what God says. Do not be like the children of Israel, as Jeremiah spoke here to them in Jeremiah 6:16. They said, we will not walk therein. But today let us purpose in our hearts to say, yes, Lord, we will walk in your will and in your ways. So let us be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, knowing that he's able to sustain us. And whatever we intentionally purpose to do, then he will see us through. Verse 9 of Song of Solomon, chapter 1. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariot. And we see the bridegroom still speaking to the bride. Jesus, the bridegroom, now speaking. He said that the bride, the church, is in comparison to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariot, meaning that the church is now strong. The church is now beautiful and unified. Beautiful and unified, strong, as compared to the horses in Pharaoh's chariot. So we see here the church is described as beautiful, beautiful, strong in Christ Jesus. We can only be strong when we are in him. We can only be beautiful when we decide to drink the cup of salvation. And we can only be unified when we decide to obey his commandment to be one as he and the Father are one. So we want oneness in our life. We want unity in the body of Christ. We want to come to the place where we stand firm because we are on the same mission for Christ. We don't want to be against each other. We want to be strong in the Lord and move together as one unit. God is calling the church back into that love relationship with him. And when we start to love the Lord again with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we will also love one another as he has called us to love one another. Love one another as we love ourselves. So we want to be true to God's word, and not only to be speaking it, but we want to truly be living God's word. So let us turn to verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 and 11 said, thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. The church is described as beautiful, with all its members taking up their rightful places and properly equipped, like the wearing of beautiful ornaments. Church of God, we are described as beautiful in these verses, with all our members taking up their rightful places and properly equipped, like the wearing of beautiful ornaments. So we see how beautiful we are when we are in a place of unity. The Lord wants us to be unified. The Lord wants the world to see us as separated unto Him. The Lord wants us to know that we are not to be conformed to the world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so we can know what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And then we can go forth and be conformed now to the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We want to be conformed to His image. We want to be like Him. We want to look like Him. We want to speak like Him. We want to walk like Him. We want the world to look on and know that we are different. We don't want to look like the world. The Word of God tells us in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we want to love Jesus and not love the world. We want to be decked with the fruit of the Spirit. Everywhere we go, we will display love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, self-restraint. We want to be like Jesus. So He's calling us. He's calling us to that high place in Him. He's calling us to love Him again. He's calling us to walk in the beauty of the salvation that He has prepared for us. For He has given us His salvation, and we are to walk worthy of what He has done for us. So we want to be true to Him and to walk in His will. Verse 12, while the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. Verse 12, the bride, the church, is now speaking, saying that the king, who is King Jesus, is now seated at his table. And the fragrance from the bride now has a beautiful fragrance, the fragrance from the bride sent forth a sweet aroma. When we are walking in holiness, we will send forth a sweet aroma. When we are walking in righteousness, then we will send forth that sweet aroma. The world will look on and the world will know that we are children of God. We are not our own, but we are walking in the light of God's word. We want to send up that perfume, that sweet aroma of Christ wherever we go, knowing that we are the bride of Christ. We are the people of God who He has called out of the world. He has called us and has now seated us with Him in heavenly realm. So let us go forth as the bride of Christ and portray His image in a beautiful way and send forth a sweet aroma. Let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and come to glorify our Father which is in heaven. We are here to bring glory and honor to the name of Christ. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praise of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are no more in darkness, so let us not walk in darkness. Let us walk in the light of God's word, bringing honor and glory to His name. Verse 13 of Songs of Solomon, chapter 1. Verse 13, Songs of Solomon, chapter 1. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breast. The bride, the church, went on describing the bridegroom, Christ Jesus, that He's like a bundle of myrrh or spice to her. Even at nights when she's asleep, He will be in her heart. People of God, we have to have the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart at all times. So even when we are asleep, He will be in our heart. So that's why the bride was saying that no matter what comes, he will always be in her heart. So we want to have the Lord in our heart at all times. We want to walk each day knowing that he is with us and in us. He promises that he will never leave nor forsake us. But let us be aware of his presence with us. Let us not go forth as if we don't know that he's always with us. His words are true. His promises are true. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So we want to know that our bridegroom, King Jesus, is with us at all times. Go on to verse 14 of Songs of Solomon, chapter 1. "My beloved is unto me as a cluster of campfire in the vineyard of En-Gedi." The bride described the bridegroom as a bouquet of flowers in the vineyard of En-Gedi. And we can imagine a bouquet of flowers in the vineyard of En-Gedi. En-Gedi is noted to be a desert place, but he is like that flower in the desert place. And no matter how dry it is, and no matter how bad the condition around us is, when we have Christ Jesus, he is like a bouquet of flowers to us, because he brings life, he brings joy, he brings fulfillment. Just like receiving a bouquet of flowers, it brings so much joy just to look at it, how beautiful it is, and smile and give thanks to the person that gave you that bouquet of flowers. So is the Lord Jesus Christ to us right now in these trying times. He is like a bouquet of flowers to us in the desert place. "Behold, thou art fair, my love, behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes." The bridegroom is now telling the bride how beautiful she is and that she has dove's eyes. She's looking only on him. She's completely focused on him. Dove's eyes, that means they don't have no peripheral vision. They look straight. So we are now, the church, looking straight at our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Verse 16 said, "Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant also. Our bed is green." And verse 17 said, "The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafter of fir." So he went on to tell her how beautiful, tell the church how beautiful she is, and that her relationship is now with him is now flourishing. So we now have a flourishing relationship with Jesus as we draw close to him, and he draws close to us. "The ceiling and the covering of their dwelling is strong, it's durable. And love is the covering, and love never fails." So Jesus Christ himself is love. God is love. The 1 John 4:19 said, "We love him because he first loved us." So we want to continue to love on Jesus, continue to be the bride that he has called us to be, continue to be separated unto him and love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. And God bless you here. God bless you. And as we continue, we will be going next week into the next session. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word, "Thy Word is a Lamp." You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy Word is a Lamp.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
when I